Hello, my lovelies. This is Paisley Wild, and I am with The Spaces Between. It's a new show that's available on various social media devices, including YouTube. And I am a solitary, eclectic pagan here in North Idaho. I live on the banks of Lake Pend'Oreille, and I've got a real connection to the mountains and around me, the earth under my feet, and the water that's in this valley. And if you ever look us up on Google Maps, you'll see just how big my lake really, really is. And I'm on the show mostly to explore what it means to be a pagan in today's society, and I've invited you to join me, and we're going to touch on different beliefs and practices. What is paganism, and how is it different from shamanism? We're probably going to brush on the occult a bit as well, because it is very much a part of paganism and shamanism, and we're just going to learn together. I've noticed that most lessons, once you've learned a topic, it's reinforced by teaching others. And so what I'm hoping to do is, as I learn and explore my own path, I'm going to share that information with you, and hopefully your path will be more present, or you'll learn along it as well. Now, as we move forward, I do really want to encourage you to send me an email to wildpaisley@gmail.com, and that's W-I-L-D-E. Paisley, P-A-I-S-L-E-Y, @gmail.com. If you have any ideas or concerns or comments for the show, in addition to making note of them on YouTube. Besides, if you do that, it does help my metrics. So make sure you do hit the like and subscribe and the little bell if you want to hear and be notified of new episodes as I have them published. Now, the reason why I'm doing this like this on a podcast or a video is because, as a solo practitioner, it's been really, really hard for me to find a group, a coven, circle, grove, whatever you want to call it, with which I can really connect with and learn with and through. And, you know, almost every church, or excuse me, community in America has either a church or a Bible study or some sort of facility for other faiths to get together and commune and have just that social connection. And it's obvious. If you go into a town, you know where the church is. Or if you ask where the church is, you can get directions. It's really, really easy. But for the pagans and witches, if you, it's not as easy. It's not like there's a posting on, and as you go into town, it's like, okay, so the coven meets at Saturday night at 5 p.m. It just doesn't happen. So I'm trying to create, I guess, a bit of a community with my show so that I can learn and you can learn. Now, part of this is because paganism has been forced into hiding by those that fear it for just a really, really long time, for millennia. And the really awesome thing, though, is in recent years, paganism and witchcraft and other non-traditional Christian beliefs have really become more widely accepted. Now, like I said, there just isn't a social connection, though, for a lot of us. And also, there are just as many ways to be a pagan as there are gods and goddesses. And finding that faith-oriented home can be a really challenging. So I'm embarking on my own personal journey of self-discovery, and I hope that you want to come along and join me. And so my biggest goal with this show is really to explore paganism and create an understanding with people who are not pagan, and with those who maybe follow different paths within paganism. I will be posting my shows here regularly on YouTube, and I'll also be doing some live broadcasts down the road as we talk about things like runes or tarot or some basic crafting, just because you really do need that visual aid. If you do want to catch me live, I will be on Truth Frequency Radio Friday nights at 11 p.m. Pacific time. And you're more than welcome to call in and discuss things. There's a chat room. It's just a really great venue for me to speak to you. Other than that, come join me on YouTube and leave your comments below, and I'll respond to them. And I really hope you interact with me that way. So to start off with, I guess we really need to talk about what is paganism. And paganism generally refers to the authentic religions of the Stone Age or European or Mediterranean areas. And it's really the traditional ancestral religion of all of humanity. Paganism, that word itself, is derived from the Latin word paganus, which means country dweller. So basically, anybody who wasn't living in the city was considered a pagan. Now, that has been adopted by Christianity and a lot of the Abrahamic faiths. So if your belief doesn't fit into the contemporary Judeo-Christian, Islamic, or Eastern framework, you really are considered pagan. And pagans can be in a specific tradition, such as Druids, or a Dianic, or they may follow their own particular inspiration and be more of an eclectic, such as myself. Now, pagans do generally venerate nature. We have a very close connection with Mother Earth, with the trees, the sun, the moon, the planets, the stars, just the plants, and just the life around us. We feel it differently and absorb the energy differently or interpret it differently than a lot of the Christians or the Western beliefs. We feel it different. We're also generally very polytheistic, generally, not always, because most of the traditions do come with a pantheon of gods or goddesses. And we definitely do generally acknowledge the goddess or the feminine face of divinity, unlike the Abrahamic faiths, which tend to minimalize the feminine side of religion and faith. And that's really unfortunate, because it's hard to be a stable faith if you're not having that dual impact of both the feminine and the masculine. Often in paganisms, or pagan households, I should say, there are altars or shrines that will either venerate a household spirit or the protector of the home or your own particular gods or goddesses. And we often recognize other groups of spirits or entities that most people chalk up as being fictional or fantasy, such as elves in England, the little people in Ireland, the kobolds in Germany, the fae, any of those. And it's just, we believe that they're there. We may not always see them. They may not be in this physical presence, but they're still there. Now, mostly, pagan religions are not very public. We generally practice in private, at home, and we don't generally just go out in public and do it. And a lot of that observation or reverence for our particular tradition can happen daily, weekly, monthly, seasonally, or even yearly. It really depends on what your path is and how you're observing. Now, we do often have larger festivities, such as Beltane, which is coming up soon, and where we want to get together as a community and really celebrate that Sabbath. Now, when we do have our personal altars, we do often leave offerings such as food or drink or personal items that may have some sort of intrinsic value, some meaning. And when we venerate nature, we really see that as a manifestation of divinity rather than something that's neutral or inanimate. So when we're walking in a forest, the trees are very much a part of who we are. We feel that energy and that connectedness. It's often like a representation or interpretation of, say, the green man, for instance. or just Mother Earth in general, or the water sprites when we're around rivers or lakes or streams. The moon. I talk to the moon often, the moon goddess, or the sun god. You know, we see these as all a representation of our path and the gods and the spirits and the goddesses around us, rather than just something that's there. And we feel that the spirit of a place really has an impact on it. You know, if you make the water sprite unhappy with, say, your well, your water may not be as good, for instance. Or if you disturb the rest of some forest creature, you know, that may not be as friendly to you to be in the forest then. You know, it's a guardianship, I guess, if you will. Now, the cycle of the seasons throughout the year really is also considered a model of spiritual growth and renewal. And this progression, this cycle of life, is marked with a sequence of festivals, or we call them sabbats. There's 8 primary ones that I'll go through in other shows, because there's a lot to it and I don't have time. But it's in the observation of those sabbats, you can be as minimalistic as just taking a moment to pause and reflect, or you can have a serious full day or 2 or 3 day festival involving, you know, offerings, dancing, singing, just community, rites, all sorts of different aspects of that festival. But again, it doesn't have to be that big. It can be very, very small and personal. Many pagans do see the earth itself as sacred. And in many practice and rituals, the earth is even offered the first libation of wine or the first offering of a drink. And even in ancient times, this happened. Even though the earth itself does not have its own priesthood or temple, it was just considered an act of reverence for most traditions to revere the earth that we walk upon. In regards to our traditions and our pantheons, we're very polytheistic. There's a god or a goddess represented or represents many facets of our daily life and or things that we do. It's not just like Zeus and Apollo. It could be Odin and Thor and Loki or any of those various gods and goddesses. And they in themselves are a recognition of the diversity that we see in nature and in the world around us. And each grouping for the tradition is called a pantheon. So I'll refer to pantheon or tradition often. And it's not because I'm excluding other pantheons or groups or traditions. It's just as an eclectic, I pull from all of them. So a lot of the worship of the various gods and goddesses and other deities are just really, really important to us as pagans. In the past, people have had gods and goddesses that represented the forest, the moon, the sea, weather, other aspects of nature, and that really hasn't changed much. However, as society has grown, so has the number of deities. They've become now connected to different occupations or locations or relationships. And some of those have been modified from other gods and goddesses to become what they are now. And some have split and proliferated or propagated into additional deities to cover the different walks of life that we have. Now, they have historically, and even today, had a serious positive impact on every aspect of our society. They've influenced everything from laws and customs to just the general workings and goings on of the community. And we don't have the Western belief or Western tradition of like a hell, for instance. Instead, we often believe that there is reincarnation, or once we move or leave this life, we move on to a different realm or a different holding place until we're reborn again. And so we really don't believe in the existence of the Christian heaven or hell. And so, you know, when someone who is not a pagan says, "Oh, you're going to hell because you're a pagan," it's really, really hard for us to focus on or believe, because that's not who we are. So we're going to be go to break for a bit, and we'll be right back, and we will continue on this journey in the spaces between. And again, my name is Paisley. Hi, this is Paisley Wild with the Spaces Between, and thank you for joining us again and after that quick break. And we're just talking about the world of paganism and how it's, you know, just really awakening. So I wanted to share a quote with you guys that I found that was really important. It's by Sylvester McNutt, and it's titled Awakening. And it goes, quote, "You reach a point where you feel yourself going through an awakening. You look at what you used to do and who you used to be, and it hurts because you realize you believed in and promoted nonsense. You grow, you evolve, and you stop because you no longer operate at that frequency. As a result, though, there are certain people that you do have to walk away from. And as a result, you start to realize just how messed up the world is. You want to help, you want to heal, you want to make it a better world. This is how you know you're awakening to a higher level of consciousness." End quote. Now, to interpret that just a bit, is, you know, as a pagan, often we're in the broom closet or the pagan pantry, mostly because we don't know how the people around us are really going to react to stepping out and showing who we really are. Often when we do present ourselves as pagan to the world around us, people who we thought were friends or close to us suddenly don't have the time for us anymore because, oh, we're weird, or you're crazy, or any one of a thousand different labels that are applied to pagans every day. But we're not. We're just operating at a different level of consciousness than those other people. And, you know, it hurts when they walk away or we lose that connection, but at the same time, it gives us more room to be who we are and to be more free within ourselves. And, you know, it's just, that's the way of it. For so often, we've lived with the guilt or the peer pressure to conform and be just like everybody else. And as we're growing out of that, there are growing pains, and it does hurt, and that change leaves you in a very nervous place. Often you don't know what's happening. In some of the social media feeds I follow, I can think of about four different families that have been separated or broken up because of just stuff that happens. And there's a significant contestation with custody, for instance, because one parent feels that the other parent is just a really bad influence because they're pagan. But we're not. We're just normal people doing normal people stuff every day. But instead of going to a church or a synagogue or a mosque, we get together in a circle or a group or a coven to celebrate and have our demonstrate our faith in a different way. So we're not Christian. Okay, that's fine. Or, you know, we're not Islam or Muslim, and we're not Jewish. Okay, that's fine. We're not atheist either. But they get along okay with the rest of the world for the most part. So just let us be us. And, you know, just, it's okay to be you. Just accept that you are fine just the way you are, and I believe in you, and you being you, I guess. So yes, it's gonna hurt as you grow, though, and that's kind of an abnormal part of growing within yourself. So enough of the soapbox. Moving on. So the next thing I wanted to talk about is the goddess. And almost every pagan path acknowledges that feminine aspect of divinity. Now, some paths do offer an allegiance to a specific male deity, but they still acknowledge the reality of the other gods and goddesses, unlike those with your typical monotheistic beliefs. Now, some monotheistic beliefs, such as Christianity, Judaism, Islam, really do abhor the very idea of female divinity, except for Mary, which I don't get, but anyways. They really are against the feminine aspect of divinity. They really are. I mean, that's where the witch trials and the burnings happened, is they were very much against that feminine power, if you will. And it's not because they necessarily wanted to eliminate the women. It's just they wanted to make sure they were in control or in the power. And that happens often in religion. I guess maybe that's why we have a faith or a tradition rather than a religion within paganism. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with connecting with that feminine side of your divine worship. It just isn't a reverence. So, you know, when you're interacting with the people around you, just accept that they are going to be a little different. They may favor the feminine aspect or they may favor the masculine, and that's fine. We're each walking different paths in our practice and in our faith, in our belief, and that it's good. It's good to be different. I guess the last thing I really wanted to talk about is some just basic groundwork when it comes to rituals. If anybody has ever read a spell or a chant or an incantation, you got the list of words there to read and maybe some tools are suggested, and that's great. But they don't talk about the consequence very often of what might happen with that ritual prior to, or some of the consequences, because I personally really believe that whatever you put out there will come back. It's not like the threefold rule or anything like that, but it's really, if you're putting negative energy out into the world, it's going to come back to you, which is why I really try to embrace the positive or find a positive alternative to achieving what I need to do. So first and foremost, when it comes to rituals or altar work or cleansings or spells or casting of any kind, you really need to focus on your intention. What is it that you're wanting to accomplish with what you're doing? Are you looking to increase your energy? Are you looking to maybe attract more wealth or find better health or any of those things? What is your intention? And you really need to almost meditate on it a bit to figure out what it is that you're looking to achieve. Because you also need to look at the flip side, not just of the intention, but what's the result going to be? What are the potential ramifications of the working that you're doing? And so I will, throughout this series, talk about intention often. It's really, to me, probably the foundation for anything that you're doing regarding casting or your practices or your tradition. What is your intention and when you're on this path? And so your intention is going to be just the biggest component of any working that you might do. Any working at all. When you seek spells or castings or things you want to do, they suggest making a circle. Now, the reason for the circle is to establish a boundary of protection or containment. So if you're doing a ritual inside the circle, you're containing the energies in it to help you focus. Now you can do this either by drawing it out, by scratching it into the ground. Some people actually have metal circles made of different metals for different reasons that they can inlay into stone or wood or anything like that. So it really depends on what it is you're trying to accomplish. For more seasoned or veteran practices or folks, they may be able to visualize that circle of protection instead, and that's fine. Just make sure you're putting that barrier in place before you do a casting. And then also kind of in that same vein, just thinking of protection, you know, don't be afraid to protect yourself when you're doing the casting or when you're in a group. You know, a lot of folks wear stones or crystals or gems or semi-precious stones as a way to protect themselves from negative or potentially harmful energies. And this is great. This is a really good thing. Because we do need to protect ourselves. We don't need to absorb the negative energy of the people around us. And we also don't need to just give up our energy to those who would just suck it out of us. We all know someone who is just draining and exhausting to be around all the time. You can handle them in little bitty teeny tiny doses. Okay, those folks, you should probably protect yourself a little bit more when you're around them. That may mean you're wearing obsidian or have it in your pocket, or you have a quartz or some other stone that's you feel a connection with that's going to offer you some form of protection. I personally carry a blue lace agate and a tiger's eye pretty much all of the time. I do have opals that I'll wear or other semi-precious stones. Just because sometimes I need that little bit of oomph of energy. And you can find those stones or crystals pretty much in any esoteric shop. You go to rock and gem shows, you can go to often find them at flea markets and at the thrift stores or anything like that. Just remember, when you purchase those or acquire them, make sure you cleanse them and maybe ground them a bit before you move on or use them or integrate them into your life. And cleansing, just so you know, that can happen with water, whether it's just running water out of your faucet or moon water or sun water or salt. You know, just really look up the different components of your stones prior to cleansing them, because some are toxic when wet and some do dissolve when wet. And nothing hurts your feelings like having something that's really special and watch it run down the drain. It's frustrating. And then another thing to do before you do any casting or working is often grounding. Now, grounding really is kind of going back to setting that intention. And you can do it a couple different ways. The real basic one is take your shoes off and put your feet on the ground. Preferably out in the dirt or grass, but if it's you're inside and that's the best you can do because it's freezing cold outside, I get it. But basically, you're just setting your feet on the ground, or you're sitting comfortably or whatever, and you're visualizing that negative energy or even excess energy is just slowly draining out of you and grounding into the earth. You start at the top and you just work your way down, and you let that negativity or that excess energy just flush out of you and ground into the earth. And you can do this with some visualization or during a meditation. If you've never meditated before, maybe a guided meditation. There's all sorts of apps and videos on how to do that nowadays. But then after you've, you know, released all that negativity, don't be afraid to ask the earth for a little bit of positivity or reinforcement or strength to come back to you. And it's just like you're planting roots into the ground and you're soaking the nutrients up back into you. And it's very refreshing and gives you a sense of vitality that you may not have had before. And it's just a really wonderful feeling. Grounding can also happen with water. I think that may be where some of the thoughts on baptism originated. It's a way of rinsing that negative energy off of you. So if you've just had a bum day and everything's gone wrong and you're just distraught, take a shower. You know, you get in with the intention, you're cleansing yourself, you're losing that negative energy. And you're just losing that negative energy, and it's rinsing off of you and down into the drain. It's washing away. And you really do need that sense of cleanliness. You know, don't be afraid to scrub, because often, you know, if you're scrubbing that negativity or that energy off, just like you would dirt, you know, you'll feel refreshed and revitalized afterwards. When it comes to meditation, often we're told, you know, clear your mind, think of nothing, and meditate. I'm a little ADD. That doesn't work. Not for everybody. And it's okay. There are other ways to meditate. You can meditate while listening to music. You can meditate while mowing the yard. Just be careful so you don't run over something you don't want to run over. You can meditate to the sound of a fan or something to give you a way to focus your intention and your energies on the meditation rather than on the squirrels running wild through your mind. And it's just, we'll talk about meditation. I'll probably devote a whole hour to it later, because it's just a really big deal. And it helps us. And it's not just for when we're getting ready to do a casting or a ritual of some sort, but just in our everyday life. So much of our lives is overwhelmed and overcome with nonsense, and we're bombarded by radio ads and TV ads and commercials and by this and by that, and people around us gossiping and that anger, that meditating often helps us lose the anxiety and the stress and the frustrations that we might have with our daily lives. So meditation's good for everybody, not just pagans. And it's often recommended even by the Western doctors, which is awesome that they're slowly embracing some of those other ideas again. The last thing I really wanted to move into then is a certain ritual that is pretty basic but good for you. It's one for the new moon, and the new moon is just a really good time to set your intention for the coming month. You know, what is it you want to achieve? And it's just a time for new beginnings and the start of new things, even more so than a new year almost, because it happens every month. You can try something. If it doesn't work, you revisit it. It didn't work. Try something new. You know, you're always growing and developing. So if you're going to do a new moon ritual, you know, make sure you set that intention as you're preparing for it. You're going to want to gather a few things, either a candle or some sort of open flame or burning source. You're going to want some bay leaves or some small strips of paper. You're going to want like a Sharpie marker of some sort. And then if you do have a candle rather than like a bonfire or something, you're going to want a fireproof dish. So you start off by focusing your intentions on what it is you want to achieve in the coming month. So some of those smaller goals. You know, take a deep breath. Ground yourself, center, and focus that intention. And then when your intention is just as clear as it can be, light the candle, or if you've got a bonfire going, for instance, you can focus your intention as you're meditating, I guess, to the flames, and find that calm, that peace. And, you know, just really focus on the flames as they're moving. They're very mesmerizing often. Visualize your intention, you know, pay attention to how it looks, how it feels, how it sounds, what it's going to achieve, and then write that intention either in abbreviation or small words on either a small slip of paper or a bay leaf, and call on your guides and your deities and really focus on the things that you're writing down. And then you're going to want to place that leaf or the paper into the flame and have it catch fire. And the smoke then takes your intention and puts it out into the universe with the rising smoke. So you're taking your intention, you're putting it out to the universe, say, hey, I need help with this. And afterwards, once it's on fire, you know, either set it in the fireproof dish to allow it to burn, or if you're at a bonfire or something, you can just cast it into the fire. You want to make sure it does burn entirely, so the entire intention or desire is put into the universe. And then afterwards, you know, make sure you sit and you meditate for just a little bit and as long as you need to. And then, you know, offer up thanks to the universe or your deities for listening and guiding you on achieving this intention. Now, if you do have a candle, you want to make sure you snuff it out rather than blow it out. Again, we'll talk about candles later. So you just snuff it out either with your fingers, you know, candle snuffer, whatever it is you have, and then move on. If you're at a bonfire, you do need to let it go out at some point. You want to be safe with your fires, of course. Don't have crazy fires inside, as that may make your whole house be the crazy fire, and that was bad. Not the intention we're going for here. But when you're done with your ritual, make sure you're offering up thanks to the universe, your deities, your guides, and expressing your appreciation for the work that they're doing or the help that they're giving you. Maybe leave a little something extra on your altar as an offering. And that's pretty basic. I mean, we're not Harry Potter. It doesn't really work that way. I see a lot of requests on social media asking for hair straightening or spells or, hey, I want this person to love me. Why don't they love me? Love spells are not the way to go. We'll talk about that later. It's a cautionary tale. And some of the common everyday things, like you might see in Harry Potter, yeah, it's a work of fiction. Awesome fiction, but fiction. So, moving forward in later shows, we will talk a little bit more about the reality versus the fiction, and when we cast spells or do our workings, because so many people will watch a movie or a show or something, and they'll think, "Oh, hey, that's really cool. I want to be a witch," and they get into becoming a pagan and following the path, and they find out that's not really what it is. So, you just make sure you keep your eyes open. We will talk about the differences between reality and fiction later. So my name again is Paisley Wild. This show is The Spaces Between. I want to thank you for joining me. If you're on YouTube, make sure you do hit the like and subscribe button. For metrics, if you can leave a comment, that'd be great. It makes me look better. I love that. And I really want to see what your comments are and what your thoughts are and what you feel that I am doing right in this process, and you know, maybe something I should talk about moving forward. If you do have questions, please reach out to me. It's wildpaisley@gmail.com, or you can find me on Facebook as Paisley Wild. I do have a page, The Spaces Between, on Facebook. And yeah, check us out. Ask me questions. I look forward to talking to you again in the future. Thanks for joining me.